Well, welcome to the Republican Professor. Today we have Micah Kunkel with us as a guest. Thanks for being here, Micah.
Thanks for having me, Lucas. And it's Kunkel, not
Oh, okay. Sorry. Gosh, there's a multi-year mistake for me.
It's okay. I get Micah Kunkel all the time. So
Conkle. Okay. All
Kunkel,
right.
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Micah is 24 years old, and I know Micah from, do you want to say?
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Holy
Holy smokes.
smokes. Holy smokes is a like a Christian cigar club, and it's all over the place, but we're in the Orange County chapter, so I don't know if there's or multiple Orange County chapters, but we're in the north one at least. Or is there more, multiple chapters, do you think?
Oh yeah, there's chapters like all over in the nation. Yeah.
And I mean, but in
There's
Orange County?
multiple in California.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Well, so we're in one in California,
Yeah.
and Micah is 24 years old. Is that counting from conception or birth?
From
Oh, from birth.
birth.
Okay, so we're playing the pro-choice game. Okay. So, you're a young whippersnapper here in SoCal, and you went to the Charlie Kirk event, his
I
memorial.
did. Yeah, I did.
Okay. I'd love to hear about it. I'd love to hear about your connection with Charlie Kirk, what he means to you and your generation. I know you are speaking for your generation. I checked every young person, and they all agreed Micah speaks for us. Even the Democrats said that. So you are the representative of that generation, and interested to see what you think about the memorial. We can just kind of launch off from there.
So I mean, as far as like what Charlie Kirk meant to me, I mean, he was a huge name in my generation. His social media clips and his college campus tours that he did were very, very popular. And I had tons of friends that went to those, and I obviously watched his clips. I actually got to meet Charlie because I've participated in some of the Jubilee videos, and through that experience, they filmed those videos back to back, and so I filmed one where I was surrounding one liberal, but then afterwards, Charlie Kirk came in and filmed one where he was surrounded by 20 liberals. And so I got to meet him before he filmed that video, and he's just very, very nice guy, very personable. He was asking us questions of like different tips and what to expect in the video, which was really cool. But yeah, so he definitely had a significant impact on my life, and I think a lot of my friends' life, which is why I definitely wanted to go to the memorial service. And so the memorial service was it was awesome. We did have to get there at like 3:30 a.m. To get some good seats. And so me and my wife, we drove to Phoenix. We got there. We stayed at a hotel for a few hours, get some sleep, and then we went over at 3:30. Stayed in line, and just like right off the bat, we showed up and there were worship songs. The crowd was singing worship songs right away,
Wow.
which was just really cool. American flags everywhere.
Wow.
And then, we get into line, we get past security. And, the atmosphere was just incredible. It felt like there was like a lot of excitement. For it, but there was also, it did feel like an appropriate like mourning type atmosphere as well, and just like a sadness for why we were even there in the first place, and the fact that they kicked it off with so much worship at the beginning was incredible. So yeah, and then the speeches, there were some speeches I really didn't like. There were others that were okay, but there were some that were just really incredible. And so it was, yeah, it was absolutely worth going.
Wow. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
So your wife is just as excited as you are?
Yeah, actually I didn't know how she would react to me wanting to go, because I heard it was in Phoenix and I was like, well, that's a six or 7 hour drive. We could totally do that. And so I asked her, I was like, hey, would you want to go to the Charlie Kirk Memorial? And right away she was like, oh, yes, absolutely. Like, let's do it. So she was super eager to go and she had a great time as well.
Wow, that's great. How
Yeah.
long have you been married?
I've been married for about 2.5 years now. Yeah, May 2023 is when I got married.
Okay. So
Yeah.
you're young and married. You're breaking all the rules, man.
Well, that's kind of the MO with Gen Z. We're kind of rejecting millennials in one sense and, kind of going back to traditional values, religious values, conservative values.
Okay. And you're a
Yeah.
Christian.
Yes.
Okay. So when I'm around you, you seem to be unapologetic in your excitement about, Republican things. And I find it refreshing. I find it refreshing. What role did Charlie Kirk play in that whole thing, and where do you see his legacy?
Yeah, I mean,
Far as you go, as far as you personally.
yeah, Charlie Kirk definitely inspired me to be more courageous, and I've always loved debate. It's something I did in high school, and so I always loved doing it, and so yeah, definitely Charlie Kirk was someone that I watched and admired and tried to learn from a lot. And the way he treated his opponents, I think, is something I especially try to model, because he just treated them with such gentleness and respect. And, he wasn't perfect, but generally, the characteristic of Charlie was that. And even just watching, yeah, his Jubilee video, very hostile environment. There were a lot of really hostile people in there that were very insulting. Charlie kept his cool. He did not get emotional. He did not get upset. And so I definitely try to model that as well. As far as his legacy goes, I think he's inspired a lot of different people to start being courageous and putting themselves out there and having conversations, having debates. I was just part of another Jubilee video this last Sunday, and there was a girl there who I knew before the video, and she had expressed that she didn't even really want to go, that she was, thinking about dropping out. But ultimately, she ended up posting that she went because of Charlie.
Wow.
And
Wow.
so, that's the kind of impact I think Charlie is having of, us thinking, okay, like, yeah, we have to pick up that microphone. We have to continue having conversations. And that's, so that's why I wear this bracelet too that I got at the memorial. It says, "We are Charlie Kirk."
That's cool.
It's just a really good reminder, of, what he stood for, and not just conservative values, but Christian values as well.
Yeah, that's the key thing right there is Christian values. Christian values. Wow.
Yeah.
Christian values that go along with politics. And you don't seem to shy away from the political.
No.
You seem to see that you don't shy away from either one. You seem to see that they go together pretty well. Can you talk about that and how did you see that connection? How young were you when you started making that connection?
Yeah, so I think both my parents are very careful thinkers. They're both really thoughtful. My dad definitely leans in more to the theological and apologetic side. And then my mom leans more into the political side for sure. But they're both very knowledgeable in both areas. And so growing up, I saw that being infused, and I saw them viewing politics from a Christian worldview, not just like separating those two things of like, oh, well, church is on Sundays and politics are on election days. It's like, no, they're very intertwined. My grandma has served on city council in Buena Park before, and she was the mayor of Buena Park at one point. And so, yeah, so definitely in my family, politics and faith have been very intertwined. And if we believe that, the Bible is true, that the Bible is infallible, then it should influence every area of our life. If it's truly God's word, if it truly lays out principles by which we can live by, that will also affect our view of politics, of government, of economics, of arts. And so it should affect every area of our life. And so, that's something that was taught to me from a pretty young age. And so, yeah, I continue to try to live that out.
So you'd say you're probably pretty young when you probably don't even remember, right? You were so young when you started
Yeah,
seeing
so
the
I
world.
mean, I remember like, oh, let's see, it had to be before middle school. Like in the car, my mom always turned on the radio and she'd listen. She loved listening to Michael Medved and loved listening to Dennis Prager.
Oh, yeah.
And so I remember distinctly listening to those guys in the car. I remember at night she'd turn on the O'Reilly Factor, and so I remember listening to Bill O'Reilly. And then when I sort of started like really getting into it was in high school, when I started doing debate. And so that was probably around 14, around 14, 15. And so that's when I started listening to like Ben Shapiro and Alicia Krauss on their radio program, and then Ben had his podcast, so I listened to that when he started doing that. And so yeah, anyway, so very young age I was starting to think about politics. Yeah.
And the seamless integration is refreshing for me because if we live in a world created by God, then it would seem like there would be a seamless integration. There wouldn't be this chopping up that we have to do of compartmentalizing everything. It seems kind of arbitrary to me, but it's nice to see young people. Tell us about these Jubilee debates that you've mentioned. Sounds like a Christian term, but who came up with that name and what's wh how did you get involved with that? And I mean,
Yeah.
I saw you debate. I think I saw you posted on Instagram. Oh, the Young Turks guy.
Yeah,
And I
Cenk.
is that how you
Cenk
say it?
Uygur.
I never know
Yeah,
how to
it's
say his
Cenk,
name.
Cenk. Yeah.
I saw that you were pretty kind to him. At least, you were forceful, but you also mentioned that you try to give people the benefit of the doubt when you're debating them.
Yeah, so Jubilee is a YouTube channel. It's not Christian. Actually, I would say probably a lot of people that work for Jubilee are pretty liberal. But they try to take a middle ground position. They don't try to really take any stances themselves as a company. They just try to host dialogues and do these videos. And so I got connected. I had watched Jubilee for years, with their different videos that they've done, their different debate videos. Again, I love debate, and so I watched those videos. And finally, a friend of mine pointed out to me that there was casting updates, and so you could get emails about different future video opportunities. And so I applied to that, or I put my email in for that. I applied to another video that wasn't really that big, but afterwards I was in their system, and so they'd send me different like videos, like, oh, are you interested in this video? Are you interested in this one? And then finally, the one that caught my attention was the Surrounded series that they're now pretty known for, and it's probably their most popular series on there. And I saw it was one liberal surrounded by 20 conservatives, and I was like, yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun. So I applied. You film a little video of yourself, and then I got contacted by a casting director. We set up a Zoom interview, and then after that they sent me an email that I had been casted. And so then, yeah, I showed up, and basically, Surrounded is, yeah, it's where it's one person in the middle, surrounded by 20 people that disagree with them. Whoever runs up to the chair first gets to debate them, and then everyone else in the circle has red flags. And so when about half the group raises their red flags, that person is voted out, and then someone else gets an opportunity to go into the middle and debate them. So you do that for four prompts, and then at the very end, the person in the middle chooses one of the people that surrounded them, and they get to have a 10-minute uninterrupted, so no flags, conversation about the topic that the person surrounding the one person gets to choose. And so on the first video that I was on, with a TikTok streamer named Dean Withers, I ended up going once, and pressing him on the fact, on his argument that conservatives weren't didn't believe in family values because they voted for Trump. And so I pressed him on that,
Wow.
which I thought was kind of a silly argument. And by his own admission in the video, he said I made the best points. And so at the end, he chose me to debate him. And so I debated him for 10 minutes on abortion. And then after that, Jubilee has had me back for numerous videos. I've been a part of like seven or eight now. And so, yeah, it's just been a really good time, really fun being able to debate and be a part of those videos that get seen by like millions of people.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dang, millions of people. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think the Dean one is at like, it's almost at like 20 million views or something crazy like that.
Wow. Good job,
Yeah.
man. Do you
Yeah,
get
it's
nervous?
I think my experience in speech and debate has helped me with the nerves. I still get nerves, of course, and I think it's just about how you're dealing with those nerves, and so and how you present yourself. So I've learned to get past the nerves and be able to present myself well. But I will say too, I think the more that I've done the Jubilee videos, the less nervous I've actually gotten. And this last one that I filmed on Sunday was the least nervous I've ever felt for a video before. Yeah.
Is that just experience, you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's just experience. It's knowing what to expect, in some regards. And, and yeah, like there is always an element of the unexpected in debates. You just don't know exactly what your opponent might say. But, after doing the videos for many times, I think this was, let's see. I think this was like my fourth or fifth surrounded that I had been on. So doing it that many times, I very much knew what to expect. Had a good idea of what I wanted to say, if I got the opportunity. And so, yeah, I think that really helped with the nerves. I think a lot of people don't realize when it comes to debates how important the prep is. The prep is everything. That is how you reduce your feelings of nervousness. That's how you actually have things to be able to say, things to be able to respond to their points is through research. And that's something that I think people need to realize Charlie did. Like, Charlie didn't just like go on a college campus and start debating people. He did his research, he did his study beforehand, and he was constantly doing that. And so if you listen to someone like Frank Turek, who was a mentor of Charlie, for Christian apologetics in particular, Charlie was putting in a lot of prep before these college debates, so that he was ready and prepared. And that's what scripture calls us to do, right? 1 Peter 3:15, always be prepared to give an answer, to anyone who asks you for it, but do this with gentleness and respect. And so, yeah, I think Charlie modeled that really well. And I think in debates, I think people need to realize that as well.
I was just going to ask you about the prep, so that was cool that you brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
What, how do you see the prompts beforehand?
So,
Or do you know the topics?
Jubilee has kind of changed, as they've developed surrounded a little bit more. They've changed some of the things that they do. And so one of those is the prompts. So for the first video, I think they were just trying to figure it out. And so they sent us like 10 or like 15 different prompts and said like, "Hey, which ones would you be most interested in?" And so I like kind of had somewhat of an idea about like what the prompts would be. But we definitely didn't know for certain this would be the prompt. And then few videos after that, there was nothing. We didn't get anything. We didn't know who it was. We didn't know any of the prompts. And so that was a little more nerve-wracking for sure. But then they finally implemented, where they give us not the prompts, but at least the topics of the prompts, a couple days before, so that we kind of know a little bit more what the conversations is going to be about.
I see.
So that's been really good. I think it's been helpful. And I think it's probably led to some better debates too. Because yeah, if you're just throwing people in there and they have no clue what to expect, the debates just probably aren't going to be as good.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah.
Well, that's interesting. I wonder, what do you think? Think the benefit of that is for people watching. As an educator, I'm always worried that, and I'm speaking from experience, okay? I'm talking about myself. Okay. I, as an educator, I'm always worried that that the learning process is short-circuited sometimes, because we are naturally attracted to a spectacle of some kind,
Yeah.
a performance. And I've seen very good debaters manipulate statistics and get the one-liners in, and it's kind of like Twitter in a way. And then it's over. And I'm not quite sure what's the formative influence of this exercise on everybody involved.
Yeah.
And you could speak as a spectator, but also as a participant. So,
Yeah.
I mean, probably you're being formed somehow. It's probably really beneficial for you to crystallize in a persuasive way. things that would be maybe helpful, truthful and helpful, but not everybody else has that goal. And so it seems like the pressure's on to you got this one chance to correct it. And if they make up a statistic or whatever, I don't know, how are you supposed to handle that? I don't, I know that I didn't share with you where we were going in this. I just said we were going to talk about Charlie Kirk as legacy, but this is kind of related to that. So I thought maybe I would put you on the spot about that.
So there's definitely like bad actors that go on Jubilee, absolutely. I think the thing is though, it's pretty clear who those bad actors are. It's pretty clear the
You think
people that are just trying to get clips.
the process is pure enough that they get the democratic nature of it that is kind of it's voted on, right? Basically, kind of it's you're appeasing a crowd. It's kind of like a gladiatorial contest in the Roman times. You think that the process itself lends itself to really discerning truth.
So I mean it yeah with the you talked about like with the flags
Yeah,
in
just
the
the whole
video.
process, however you.
Yeah, so the flags are helpful, I think, in as long as, the people there are, I think most of the people there are pretty good people. They're discerning people. And so I think it is good. The flags are helpful in kind of getting people off that are not making good arguments or that are, not there for the right reasons, that are just trying to clip farm, as they say. And so yeah, I think that's good. Another aspect that I do appreciate about Jubilee is that they do have like an independent fact checker come in and do fact checks in the video. And
Oh,
so,
okay.
they obviously can't do that live as we're debating, but afterwards, if someone were to make up a statistic, there would probably be a fact check of like, hey, we can't find this statistic anywhere. And so you would be able to assume that it's not true. And then, yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, you have the accountability of the fact checker, but I think also the person in the middle usually has looked at a lot of different statistics and different studies. And so if they hear something new, they're probably going to be skeptical and call that out. But as far as like what you should do if you've never heard a statistic before, I mean, you can just simply say, I don't know. I think that's a statement that in the debate world is rare to hear, and people don't like saying because they think it's a bad look. But I think you should be comfortable with saying, I don't know. Because you don't know everything, and there are probably statistics that someone could bring up that are legitimate statistics that you don't know. And so, having honesty and modesty as well of just being able to say, yeah, I don't know, I think is very valuable. And I think it's very refreshing when I hear that from people. But yeah, I mean, I think the importance of like the Jubilee videos is kind of what, Charlie was all about, was about open dialogue, was about debate. That's why he was the first conservative on there. That's why he like wanted to be a part of Jubilee. And there his guys, his assistant had told me before that they had been trying to do a video with Jubilee for a long time, and so that it finally got together. And so I think Charlie was actually pursuing Jubilee to get something going. And so, I think that's what Charlie was about. He was about the open dialogue. And so, while it can be tough watching some of the debates, and I don't necessarily blame people for not watching some of them, there are good people in the circle that make good points and that have good dialogues in between. And so I think there's a lot of value in that. And just being able to start thinking about different ideas that aren't your own, or hearing a good defense of your own beliefs, I think is very valuable for people.
Yeah, as long as it has pedagogical value, I'm all for it. And I, as I as I'm hearing you say it, it might be that there's a lot of value for some people is in getting them interested in something, hearing something that's passionately represented or argued, and then it's kind of quick, like a cat would be interested in this back and forth kind of a thing. Very quick and attention grabbing if it's done well. And then launch as kind of an instigation of a further deeper work, because I think that I worry about people don't do the deeper work. I see, for example, the way questions are posed and framed is very interesting. Sometimes it could be the questioner, it could be the debater, the moderator, or it could be the debater that tries to make something about statistics, which is when it's not really about statistics at all. It's a deeper philosophical issue. And that kind of thing, if there's a lot of pressure and a lot of time constraint, can be totally lost on people listening. And I admire people that can do it. I know that Charlie could really studied his craft. By the way, how long ago was it that you saw him at that Jubilee thing? When, what the time frame?
Yeah, so it was actually basically a year, almost on the date of
Oh,
his
geez.
assassination, is when I met him, about literally a year before. So,
2024.
yeah, 2024. Yeah, September 2024.
I met him in 2018 at an event in Burbank. Candace Owens was there. He was not
Oh,
the headliner at all by any means. I
wow.
have the program and I remember him. I remember thinking how young he was. I remember thinking, gosh, he's just a kid. I think he was your age
Oh, yeah.
at the time,
Wow.
roughly around that time. And I remember thinking, he has no idea what he's up against. Now, maybe he did know what he was up against, but I remember thinking, gosh, the thing that he's going against is so satanic, I think. That was before Candace is a little different now. I don't
Yeah,
know her.
just a
I don't
little
know
bit.
her. I just met her, you know. She wouldn't know me from Adam. I don't know her. And so yeah, I'm interested in where you see his legacy going in the future, and what are your future plans? Do you have any? What do you hope to accomplish? You're still such a young guy. You're only 24. I'm sure you have people say that to you all the time.
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely want to continue participating in debates and in conversation. Again, I love debate. I love doing this. I love the exchange of ideas. I love politics. I love philosophy. I love theology. I love all those things. And so I'll continue to participate in those conversations. And continue posting. I'm definitely trying to start posting more of my own content, while juggling, full-time job as well. But definitely trying to post more and put more out there, and just see where the Lord takes it and what the Lord does, with that. I'm very open to what He has in store and what His will is for my life, and so. If that is continuing to do debates, that's great. If it's something else, then I'm very open to that. But I love doing this. I love doing it, and I think, yeah, I did speech and debate. I got skills. I am a debate coach, and so,
Oh, really?
I think,
That's cool.
yeah. And so,
What's that
I do have those skills. Being a debate coach,
like?
it's a lot of fun.
How
I'm
old
a
are
debate
your
coach.
how old are they?
They're in high school. They're junior
Oh.
high and high school, but mo mainly high school. And so, yeah, I coach in my former league that I participated in. And
Wow.
so, yeah, it's a ton of fun. It's very fun be able to talk about debate theory. A lot of people don't even know anything about debate theory.
What do you mean by
And
debate theory?
like debate theory is basically like what's effective in debates, what is good for debates, how to argue, different things like that. And like even how debates should even function as well, which is a whole long conversation. I'd love to see the nature of debates change. I'd love if we'd go back to a more formal type of debate, but yeah, so anyways, it's very fun to help teach students and then walk alongside them as they build their debate cases and go to tournaments and compete and win and lose. And so, like, I had the pleasure of coaching my sister last year. She's now graduated, but she ended up winning like two debate tournaments. And
Wow.
so that was really awesome as a coach and as a brother, older brother, to see. So it's a very rewarding experience for sure. But yeah, all that to say, I think God has given me some skills in that area, and so, I want to glorify him in using those.
That sounds wonderful and refreshing. I was at debate. I was in the debate team for a year in my public high school.
Awesome. Oh, that's so cool.
It was my junior year. I was also on the newspaper. I was on the newspaper for took journalism, the class, and you had to take it to get on the newspaper staff. I took that in my freshman year. Then I was on the staff for the rest of the time, writing editorials, writing like
Oh, wow.
firebrand editorials. And so I did debate my junior year. And the topic was the way they did it was the topic was homelessness for the whole year. So we
Oh,
re
yeah.
we re, re does that how you guys do it? You guys have a
Yeah,
topic?
so at least when I competed in the league, we had one resolution for the entire school year.
Okay.
They've recently changed it. They do three resolutions now in the year. I think
Okay.
they should go down to two.
Two.
But
Okay.
yeah, I
Do you get
think,
to
yeah, it
choose
was
or
very
something?
awesome.
What's the function of three?
So they have a voting process the year before. So everyone that competes the year before gets to vote on the three resolutions for next year. And so they have a voting process and then they announce the three resolutions. The thought behind three was to kind of try to avoid a little bit the repetitiveness sometimes of debates. Because by the end of the year, some of the debates had gotten really repetitive. And so I think that was the idea. I think what they end up missing out on is some of the depth of the debates, especially with high school students. It can kind of take them sometimes a little bit to figure out, like, oh, okay, like this is how I should debate this resolution. This is how I should not debate this resolution. And like really to go deeper into the topic too. So I
Yeah.
think two would be a happy middle ground. But yeah, I mean the way it functioned in back in my day is one
Yeah.
resolution for the year.
Okay, so when they do the two or three, are they related or are they totally different?
No, it's just the three that they chose or that was voted on. So
So it
yeah,
could be a
they're usually
universal
all.
base, it could be a universal basic income, it could be nuclear energy, it could be
Yeah.
it's
Yeah,
totally
I mean, I
different.
can just list the three that we have this year. So
Okay.
the first one is about in foreign policy, diplomacy is more effective than military intervention. And then you have, oh shoot, what was the second one? Oh, it was the second one is about what do you call it? Basically like when it comes to like social change and social movements, which one is better, like extremism, or I forgot, I can't believe I'm forgetting the other term.
Moderation.
Yeah, but like a slowly over time. It's
Oh,
a
okay.
big debate within actually the
Gradualism.
pro-life
Okay.
realm. And then the third one is about theoretical knowledge versus practical skills, like which one's more valuable. So yeah, I mean comp three totally different
Wow.
topics.
So you got to be ready on all three of those, or you just pick. Wow.
Yeah, so you actually have to debate both sides, which is
Yeah,
very
right.
valuable. So yeah,
Yeah.
so you have an affirmative case, a negative case, and then you're
Yeah.
having to debate both sides, and you've got to be ready for arguments for both sides and how to respond from each perspective.
Well, when I was in high school, I remember I hope you don't lose respect for me if you had any, but I didn't take it very seriously. I did. I mean, it's not like I didn't do the work or anything, but like I'd be paired up with people that were just normal people, and I was kind of like I was a rabid Republican when I was in high school. And I wasn't really that impressed with the debates. I guess is what I would say is it just didn't seem like it was transforming anybody's life. The people that I knew that were involved, it didn't seem like it made any kind of difference in their life at all. And I'm maybe that's unfair to the system or whatever. It's not designed to do that, but that's what comes across for me. That's what remind. But it was a good exercise. It was great, and there was also a really nice way to meet people.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't know exactly how your system did it either. And I the league that I was in was a Christian homeschool debate league, and so
That was probably better than ours.
in my opinion, that just you got a certain kind of person
Yeah.
that would be a part of that,
Right.
that
That's
really made the
true.
debates really fun,
Yeah.
and very
Okay.
respectful.
Okay.
There definitely was a culture there that's still there of being kind and respectful
Yeah.
in debates. And that's also because too, like you're being judged and the winner is decided by the judge, right? And so you have to appeal to the judge. And a lot of the time, the judges are fellow competitors' moms or dads. And so, they are obviously not, gonna allow for disrespect to happen. And so, you're trying to appeal to them. And so naturally you're more respectful. And so
Also, that
it had a
five that you slipped
huge
him, the five you slipped him beforehand probably
no,
didn't make a difference.
definitely not. But yeah, debate, speech and debate had a huge impact on my life. And definitely affected the way I think about the world and what I do now, obviously, with di doing debates.
Well, it's definitely important for our culture and the way our system is set up is kind of assuming these skills. It's just assuming them that at least everybody is going to be aware of what the rules are and what counts as a fairness and a good argument. I remember what it was that bothered me about debate. It was a Jefferson County High School called Chatfield High School, which is a rival of Columbine in Littleton, Colorado. And I remember what drove me nuts about it was you'd go through this process of debating, and it seemed like it was all about who could talk the fastest. That's what drove me nuts, is it was all about how many things can you say in 1 minute. And you get points if you respond to somebody else's point, even if what you said took like 2.5 nanoseconds. And I remember just thinking that the it seemed like, and this is a world
That's
before Twitter.
pretty silly.
This is a world before the internet, okay? We did not have the internet. So I delivered the newspapers. People read the newspaper. People answered the phone without knowing who's calling. And that I was right before all the internet stuff. So people had probably a longer attention span, but man, it was a little bit grueling.
Did they do the speed talking where they talked really, really fast?
And I wasn't
Yeah,
really that good at that.
I'm not a huge fan of that type of debate at all. As you've pointed out, I don't think it's actually very helpful to anybody, anyone involved. And yeah, the scoring system is like more of like points, and you get points for responding to different arguments, even if your response is awful. That's just not how we did it in my league at all. The judges would, give different judging philosophies or experience that they would have, but it was generally like, hey, like whoever makes the better arguments, the more convincing arguments wins. And sometimes that means, yeah, like if that person responded to everybody that their opponent's arguments, and the other person didn't, yeah, they win because the other person missed some key arguments that they needed to respond to. But other times it meant like, okay, even though this person had more responses, their responses weren't actually that great. That person had the more substantive argument and the better claims that went unrefuted. So I'm going to vote for them. So it's a totally different culture than the one that you experienced. And I agree, that one that you experienced sounded very toxic as far as debate goes.
I mean, I can understand that. I appreciate your saying toxic. I think I would describe it as just kind of pointless. Like just I don't remember. I do remember. I just had a memory. I remember winning and thinking it's dumb that I won. Not because the other side sucked. Not because the other side sucked. It's just because I know that I just snuck some things in really fast. And that's, I remember thinking it's almost like in wrestling or something. If you just try a takedown like 5 million times, you don't actually get a takedown. You get points for every time you try. It's like, I don't know. I mean, it seems like you have to actually accomplish something. But anyway, I appreciate the craft of persuasion, probably more than I ever have, and probably because of Charlie Kirk, I would say, because I could see him making a study of it, and I know he worked. He's probably a workaholic, except for he took the Sabbath off, which is good. That makes me
Very
respect him
good.
even more. I don't know why we just totally disregard the command to rest. Can you imagine if you took any of the other commands that sloppily? You know, I mean, I guess some people do, but he was just a refreshing guy. I think you're a refreshing guy too.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thanks for being a refreshing guy.
Thank you. Yeah, I try my best, and so, try to definitely imitate Charlie on a lot of these things, because I just think he did it so well.
Well, thanks for coming on to talk about this stuff and give us an insight on how younger people are thinking. I know that you're not just like the normal younger person, but may there be more like you. May your
I
tribe
appreciate that.
increase and everything.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Lucas. Appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always great talking with you at Holy Smokes too. Always good conversation.
Oh, I love going to that, and I love hanging. I really enjoyed the young people time we had last time. I know I was one of the oldest guys there. I was situated between a 13-year-old and a 16-year-old, and I was enjoying every moment of it, and
Yeah,
so happy to
that's good.
see so many people, so young people, and I'm
Yeah.
very excited to see how the young people develop. And anything I can do to help, just let me know. And you're
Okay.
always welcome on the Republican Professor podcast.
Thank you. I appreciate that a lot. Yeah.
So, Micah, how can people find you if they want to follow you?
Yeah, so you can find me on basically all the major social media platforms. I'm on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, X. And you can find me if you just look up my name, Micah Kunkel, MICHKUNKLE. Yeah, you can find me, follow me. I'll be posting more, not just debate content, but hopefully like some reaction and responding and engaging with ideas. And so, yeah, and yeah, just a final word to the viewers. Not everyone can be, like a Charlie Kirk, or not everyone can even debate. But we all know people in our lives that we can have conversations with, and God has given us a mind to be able to reason logically and to make rational arguments. And so, even if you're never going to be on the debate stage, you can still embody Charlie Kirk by knowing what you believe, why you believe it, and telling that to other people, other friends, other family members.
I have to say amen to everything you just said. Yeah, situating it with God gave us a mind. So we're not accidental creatures here. We are designed for this. It's part of our very nature, comes out of how we are designed, and we are designed. We're designed by a creator. A tripersonal active being that created the world a finite time ago for a purpose. And we're part of that. And we have an infinite value as creatures made in the image of God with souls and minds. And it's all meaningful and it's all important. Developing your own mind and your ability to think and critically reason is important for your own well-being as well as the well-being of your communities and families, and passing it on to the next generation is always what's on my mind, is how is this going to catch on to the younger generation, which is why, Mike, I'm so glad that you are exist and that you've come on and you're doing what you're doing. I know that you're holding down job. You're a family man. I'm assuming you go to church.
Oh yeah, every
Okay.
week.
Okay. So that's some that's you know takes time and energy, and you're developing your debate skills, and you're doing this because you think it's important, and you're building into the next generation already. You are, as a 24-year-old, building into teenagers. And so this is really important. And I can't I, and also it's a great advertisement for homeschooling. Did you say you were homeschooled?
I was, yeah, homeschooled and since first grade. Yeah, all the
Okay,
way
that's a
into senior year
huge.
of high schooling.
Okay, good. I think I'm going to put this in the homeschooling playlist, which doesn't exist on my YouTube exactly yet. But we've done other things on homeschooling. One of them is one a major one was censored by YouTube. It was taken off
Oh,
by the Biden administration. Thank you, President Biden, for still controlling speech on the internet.
jeez.
Wow. Yeah. That's why when Jimmy Kimmel was fired, well, actually, he wasn't even really fired. He was just kind of put in the corner to vote for a while.
Yeah.
Everybody's freaking out about that. And I was like, I'm still censored by the Biden administration. Heidi
Yeah.
St. John came on this podcast in 2022 Her podcast, she said 1 million downloads a month. She was running for Congress at the time. She's a major figure in the homeschool movement. And the title of the episode was Homeschooling for Congress or something like that. YouTube took it down because she told a story, a true story. And I can't really say because I don't know what the rules are still, but she told a true story of how her dad died. And it was a true story. It was not misinformation, it was true. And it was about her dad dying. And it was a very short part of the episode, it was only 5 minutes of the episode. And they took the whole thing down. The rest was about homeschooling. Wow. So pretty sad that we live in censoring times, and that's why it's very important to pass this on to the younger generation. Get people involved, get them voting, and no bifurcations, no walls, between faith and loving your neighbor, which is what Rob McCoy always says. It's about loving your neighbor. Politics is about loving your neighbor. You cannot love your neighbor without being concerned about what kind of laws affect your neighbor. So,
Yeah, that's well put.
all right, Micah, tell us one more time how to spell your last name.
It's KUNKLE.
Okay.
Micah, MICAH,
And
Kunkel,
that's how you get to your YouTube and all that?
KUNKLE. That's how you get to my YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, or
Okay.
X.
All right. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet, buddy. Anytime. Let me see if I can figure out how to pause this thing. Well, that was a refreshing conversation with Micah Kunkel. And I wanted to reiterate what I've been saying here about the younger people. The younger people are the key to this whole thing. They really are. And the educational system is the key to the whole thing here. Your future is in the hands of folks that are going through public education. You got to be really dialed into what that really is doing. And look into homeschooling. If you have concerns about the public school system, which I certainly do, and I went through the public school system, look into homeschooling. Check out our episode that we did with Jessica Wilkinson. Check out the episode we did with Brian Ray. And on Rumble or Apple Podcasts, you can see the censored video that I mentioned with Heidi St. John, still censored by YouTube from the Biden era, where Biden was reaching out from the White House to censor Republicans on YouTube. And we were one that got caught up in that net. And you can listen to the Heidi St. John episode on Apple Podcasts or see it on Rumble, and you can see for yourself what was so dangerous as the Biden misinformation police called it through YouTube, using YouTube as a proxy for censorship. You can see what was so dangerous for yourself, and tell me what was dangerous about it. I'd be happy to hear about it. So we'll end this episode here today, and we'll talk to you soon.